The prophet Jeremiah lived in dark times. He lived around about the year 600 BC, round about then. It was a time of gathering gloom because Israel, the people of God, had been split hundreds of years before, and 10 out of the 12 great tribes of Israel living in the north, in what became Samaria, had already been destroyed. They'd been taken into exile by the almost terrorist empire of Assyria. 10 of the 12 tribes had gone. 2 tribes remained, based around Jerusalem. And it's there that Jeremiah is prophesying around the year, as they say, about the year 600. And what he is saying to the people is, face the truth, because the truth is very unpleasant for them. In their situation, the truth was going to hurt. And the truth was this: the kingdom of Jerusalem, the last 2 tribes, were going to fall. In spite of all their efforts to build up their armies, to ally with other nations, to compromise where compromise was required, to give in, to let go of the faith, in spite of every effort they made to preserve themselves, they were going to be defeated. And Jeremiah was still there in Jerusalem when the army of Babylon encamped around the city, and eventually Jerusalem fell. And in the midst of all of that prophecy of Jeremiah, the king, whose concern was to preserve his kingdom, his military might, lost a sense of the covenant relationship he had with God as the representative of the people. The high priest, the priests of the temple, all of those concerned with proclaiming the faith, all of them ranged against Jeremiah. And they said, "You are a quisling. You are a collaborator with the enemy. You're sapping the morale of the people. We need to fight. And we fight with a sword. And we will overcome. We will beat off the Babylonian monster that faces us." And Jeremiah inveighed against them. And he said, the reason for the collapse of this nation, the reason why Jerusalem will be destroyed and you will be taken into exile, all of you, is because you have abandoned the faith. You've chosen to compromise everything you've believed in. You've decided that in order to survive in this life, you give up and lay aside anything that God has asked of you or that you promised yourselves to God. And the consequence of that is you'll lose everything, because this life is not guaranteed, and because you cannot assure through economics or through politics that this life is going to be what you ask of it, that's going to guarantee you security. All you can do, the only thing that matters, is to secure eternal life. And the time will come when this life, when the houses we live in, or the work we have, or the security that we rely on in this life, is revealed as being far more fragile than we hoped or that we trusted. And we will be asked to choose between what we have now and what God offers. And we will have to make a decision. Not to decide is to decide for this life. Jeremiah was alone in standing in front of the people and saying, this is God, this is the truth about God. Come back to him. And he was pilloried for it. Read the first reading again, and you'll see why he says, everyone ranges against me. They eventually arrested him. Court proceedings were begun. He was thrown into the stocks. He was silenced insofar as they could. Of course, he wasn't silenced at all. Jeremiah placed absolute value in God and not in the world. when it comes to our Lord and the gospel, what he is saying to the church, and it could not be more appropriate that today is the day that as a parish we are celebrating the faith of our newly confirmed. What our Lord is saying to the church is this: the pattern of Jeremiah's life will be lived out in the church right now. Because the situation is not all that different. We're not about to be invaded by the Babylonians, far as I'm aware. But just as then, so today, there is tremendous pressure, not just on us, as I say to us, I'm talking now not to the newly confirmed, but to everybody else, but also on our young. Enormous pressure placed upon you, most particularly, our young men and women, because what you stand for is a condemnation in a way, or is seen as such by the world. You stand for something beyond this life. And for many, that's a frightening thing. You stand for values that don't necessarily make you richer or more powerful today. And what you have said in your confirmation and what many years earlier your parents have said or all the rest of us have said in our own confirmations is that matters more. And our Lord lays before us the challenge of those last few words of the gospel. He says, the one who will declare himself for me in the presence of men, I will declare myself for him in the presence of my Father in heaven. And so I ask you this. When it comes to the choice, which would you rather? To have the presence of men, of human beings, who are prepared to declare themselves in your favor, to say that you are wonderful people, that you are approved and recommended because you agree with us about so many things. And we will back you, we will back you to the hilt until it serves us better to back somebody else. And then we will abandon you. And to find that when that happens, we've also compromised God as well. When we come to face with God at the end of our lives, Christ looks at us and says, you never declared yourself for me in the presence of men. Therefore, I cannot declare myself for you in the presence of my Father. That's one choice that we have. The alternative is the choice of Jeremiah, which is to say that today I declare myself for Jesus Christ, my Savior. I declare my life from this moment on as a witness to God. And therefore I will speak that which Christ has taught me. I will proclaim in whatever way I can, not necessarily with a megaphone at the street corner, but I will always proclaim the faith of Jesus Christ, always, for the glory of his name, most importantly for the salvation of the people of this earth. And I will take whatever cost in the short term that proclamation asks of me. If necessary, I will emulate the life of Jeremiah. If that is how the world responds to the voice of God, which I wish to echo, then so be it. What have I lost? Our Lord says, don't be afraid of anybody who can hurt this. This is temporary. It's already getting old. I see wrinkles where there weren't wrinkles before. I see bald patches where once there was hair. This is not very reliable. This eventually is going to fail me. What do I lose if I lose this? Nothing that I won't be given back in the resurrection, the glorified body. Ultimately, I will have to lay this down. So why not lay it down for something that matters, which is God? Because what I will gain back is the advocacy of God. When I die, the Lord Jesus Christ, my Maker, my Redeemer, and my God, will stand with me and before his Father will say, I claim him. He has spoken for me. now I speak for him. That's the choice. Our Lord keeps saying the phrase, do not be afraid. And I say most particularly today to the newly confirmed, to you, the church says this, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid to say, I stand for God, and I will take whatever that means. I will carry the cross. I will bear the burden. Whatever happens as a consequence of that, I'm not afraid of it, because God matters more. Today, very appropriately, the 22nd of June is the feast day, and I would offer this again to our newly confirmed and our not quite so newly confirmed. Today is the feast day, we would celebrate it if it wasn't a Sunday, of St. John Fisher and St. Thomas More. Two men, one the former Chancellor of England, head of the legal service, the other Bishop of Rochester and Cardinal of the Church of Rome. Two men who were faced with exactly the same choice. Do I compromise what I believe in God in order to secure the approval of men? Or do I declare myself for Christ in the presence of men and face the consequence of that? And they did so. Both were executed for treason because they wanted to defend the sacredness, first of all, of marriage. What an extraordinary witness they have given to the church in this land. I say to you today, they were not afraid. Ultimately, they were prepared to make that gift in faith. And I say to you now, do not be afraid. Speak up for the teaching of Christ in this world. Speak up before men and identify yourself for Christ, just as I must do exactly the same. And what we will lose is temporary. What we will gain is the voice of Christ, who will speak on our behalf before the Father and will say, I speak for him. He is one of mine. He has spoken for me. I claim him. And God the Father cannot resist the voice of his divine Son. And therefore I say, do not be afraid. Proclaim the faith from the housetops. Do it with love. Do it understanding what that faith is. Accept that faith from the church because it is the voice of Christ. Be brave. And if it is about contraception, do it knowingly and lovingly. Proclaim the church's faith. If it is about abortion, proclaim the church's faith knowingly and lovingly. If it is about marriage, if it is about social justice, if it is about in vitro fertilization, if it's about cloning our embryos or dismissing them and throwing them away, teach the faith of Christ with love in your hearts and understanding in your minds, and never let fear stop you from proclaiming that faith. And you will gain for yourself, by the gift and the grace of God, your home, which is heaven. And nothing, no earthly power, can take that away from you. And that is a gift worth giving your blood for. And therefore I say to you, not just do not be afraid, have courage and have joy. Because what we lay down, ultimately, we will have to lay down. We cannot keep it. And what we stand to gain, we cannot gain in any other way. And it cannot be taken away from us. And that is God. And therefore, choose God. Be brave. Do not be afraid. Proclaim God's holy faith. God be with you.